Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. After 44 years of leadership in healthcare, Avera's John Porter is set to retire. Today, Avera includes more than 30 hospitals, 30 retirement communities, an insurance company, fitness centers, Avera eCare, and much, much more. The organization boasts more than 17,000 employees. That wasn't quite how things looked in 1974. John Porter is here with me in the SDPB studios at the University of Sioux Falls. Thanks for stopping by.
Lori, thank you for having me over. And no, you're right. Things have changed a lot over the years.
Did you imagine in 1974 that this was something that would be such an extensive career?
No, in 1974, I thought I was joining a law practice down in Yankton, South Dakota, which I did. That's when I graduated from the School of Law. It just so happened one of the attorneys in that law firm did some legal work for both the Presentation Sisters out of Aberdeen and the Benedictine Sisters out of Yankton with respect to their hospitals. And so I started, amongst other things, doing the typical legal practice, but also worked a little bit with both of those orders on their healthcare facilities, which weren't very extensive back in those days. I think the Presentation Sisters had four hospitals, like here in Sioux Falls and up in Aberdeen, and even out in Miles City, Montana, and like three nursing homes. So it was pretty humble back then compared to the extent of the ministry anymore.
So jump ahead real quick, and we have some things to cover in between, but what has stayed the same about the mission that they were doing, that the sisters were doing at that time in South Dakota, and the mission today? What has really remained as the core?
Well, I think what's remained at the core is the fact that we are involved in both of the religious orders are involved in healthcare as a ministry, along with many other ministries. They have educational ministries, social ministries. But if you go back, the Benedictines actually started a healthcare ministry with a hospital down in Yankton in the late 1800s. And the Presentation Sisters were maybe 2 or 3 years behind that when the community asked them to set up a hospital up in Aberdeen. So the real core is involved in healthcare, in focusing on not just the physical ailments or injury, but also the spiritual dimension of healthcare as part of that. So those go back well over 100 years. So when we talk about my involvement of going on 44 years, that's a speed bump in the long-term practice of things that are out there.
Tell me what it is about the organization, though, that makes a 44-year career nourishing and sustaining for you professionally, to where you were always finding something else that you was worth staying for to do.
Well, it's been an evolution, and I told somebody the other day, I said, I've been involved now in healthcare in many different roles, but I've never yet interviewed for a job at all. And so it's one of those things where you start out in certain fields of work, and it kind of leads to another field of work. And I think what really is the compelling thing is that the sisters historically with their healthcare ministry really have over the years invited more and more and more of the laity, non-religious people, to come in and be a part of it. And pretty soon you realize that they aren't necessarily inviting you to share in their ministry as much as they want this to become your ministry. Mm-hmm. So there are many, many of our people you mentioned were well over 17,000 employees anymore. But those people, many of them work with us day in and day out because it's how they express their own beliefs and spirituality.
As the organization grew over the years and, big things happened, combining the two sisters together, changing the name to Avera, starting the Heart Hospital, expanding into the insurance market. What kind of conversations were consistent throughout those decisions? Were you always asking, should we do this? How can we do this? It's time to do this. What, as those big changes happened, what were some of those core conversations like?
Most of, I would say, the core conversations go back to a reflection. Our mission statement, for the most part, is the same today as it was certainly in the latter part of the 90s when we started Avera. And that was pretty well the same back with the old Benedictine Health System and Presentation Health System, and that is trying to find ways that we can improve the lives of not just people, but of communities. We've had a big focus on really helping our communities grow out there, and it's good quality, accessible health care close to home. Mm. And so if you go back and trail our development within Avera, back in the 70s, early part of the 80s, the Benedictine sisters were working with facilities down in southern Nebraska, several facilities in Colorado. Presentation sisters had two facilities out in Montana, and came back through, and were we able with those remote facilities to really impact both the communities and the lives out there. And our conclusion in both cases was that there probably are others, other Catholic works that operated bigger networks that were better able to serve those. So both orders went through under the heading of New Covenant, a discernment process, transferred sponsorship, operation of those facilities over to other religious groups, came back, and I like to say, well, we kind of doubled down back here in the eastern part of South Dakota for the most part. Well, we more than doubled down. We quadruple, we whatever down back here, acquired other facilities. Other orders transferred some of their outlying facilities over to the sisters. And so it was really then coming through that where we could have a much stronger presence. So if you bring everything today, I mentioned like the presentation sisters, maybe were in predominantly three South Dakota communities, and the Benedictine sisters were in maybe two or three. Well, we're probably just in South Dakota. We have some presence now in more than 60 different communities. And so we've got some 300 operating units. It could be the hospitals you mentioned. It could be nursing homes. Could be clinics. We're involved now with well over 1,000 of our clinicians that are out there coming together. So our growth, our call to mission and ministry has been to really establish a strong presence in many of the communities in our footprint of both eastern South Dakota and certainly over in the southwestern part of Minnesota, northwestern part of Iowa over there. So very, very integrated. We're now involved in pharmacies, home health programs, hospice programs, the whole litany of care. I used to joke a little bit that we basically were almost, as we would say, womb to tomb, and certainly with our neonatal programs that we have, we're very involved even before the time of delivery. And somebody reminded me once that one of our former CEOs over in Iowa was actually a licensed mortician. So we really were kind of womb to tomb and all of that. So,
what's the role of competition in healthcare in our region? Is that when we talk collaboration, we talk competition, obviously we've got in Sioux Falls and in South Dakota, these sort of massive healthcare organizations. Is there room for collaborating between the two? Do they inspire each other from a competitive nature? How do you look at that?
Yet it is a little different when you're into healthcare, and mainly because of in this country, more so than most any other industrialized country, healthcare is very expensive. It does consume a significant part of the economics that a family, for example, has available to them. And that has grown significantly over the last 30, 40 years. So we like to measure things in what's called gross domestic product. Well, we're probably healthcare is taking 16-17% of the GDP in our country. And that is far more than Germany or in England or Canada or Japan or anything like that out there. So when you talk about competition, there's two aspects. One is that certainly competition is good for all of us. Really kind of keeps us on our A game, as we would say. But when you've got very expensive both human resources and then equipment, technology, facilities to go in and start to duplicate that, it becomes an economic cost that has to be paid for by the patients, by the consumers. So there's the good part and the bad part. Thinking that each community needs a hospital on every corner Each community is going to get better pricing or higher quality because of that. No, there is a price to be paid for all of that. And so I do think it is, you probably, Lori, hit it on. It's a balance between trying to collaborate with those so we aren't unnecessarily duplicating services, but also competing, because competition does bring out, I think, better aspects in all of us. And I know certainly in the eastern part of South Dakota, there's two, perhaps more, but two very large health care players out here. And we get along and we talk. We do a lot of things together, but at the same time, we both have separate visions, separate ministries, and separate focuses out there.
Are you hopeful about the future of healthcare cost? Do you think that's something that can be addressed, or are you frustrated with where it is in America right now?
Well, I don't want to say frustrated, because then I'd have to be frustrated with myself. Maybe. Nothing wrong with that, I guess. No, I am more hopeful than anything. I think what's happening right now in recent years with the Affordable Care Act, the so-called Obamacare, with other changes going on, a lot of those changes, both in the legal status, the laws that are out there, and then certainly what's going on in the marketplace, really are driving us to be value add in the services that we provide. So if you were to take a look at the cost curve, I think certainly Avera, and I suspect others out there, are well aware that we not only have to keep in check the rapid inflation we've seen in healthcare costs, we've got to bend that curve the other way. And so if you were to say, is there a goal on the part of Avera and others in this country to maybe collectively get healthcare costs down to 15%, 14%, 13% of GDP, I think we feel compelled, yes. There's got to be a way to do that. And right now, we're coming back. The biggest move in this country is not necessarily the federal law. It is just in marketplace on what we call value-based services that are out there. Instead of being paid for each item of care, each procedure, we'll pay for an episode of care, be paid for an episode of care. Then it's up to us to live within that. And so it's called the right medicine at the right time and the right location. We just, starting the first of the year, January, every one of our primary care physicians will be part of some accountable care organization, whichever state they're in. And the real bend there is, how can we take those relationships and get the right care at the right time at the best value back to those we serve? And so you'll see our clinicians working with other caregivers as teams. And it may be that we don't need you in a hospital for 3 days. Maybe we can get you out in two. We don't necessarily need you to go into a swing bed or a rehab facility or a nursing home. Maybe we can get you into your own home, which is certainly the preference of many that we serve out there. And how do we do that? Take the technology, use our people, use the technology, and really focus on getting good results and ultimately lower the cost of healthcare.
What are your secrets to leadership after 44 years? What have you learned about leadership that you think is worth sharing with people coming down the pipeline now?
Well, I really can't tell you, because I'm going to put it into a book.
All right.
No. No, I'm not. I've had colleagues that actually have given all of these books on what I've learned, and they hand it to the rest of us, and we take one look at it, and all of a sudden it's sitting on a coffee table somewhere, never to be opened again. But I would say it isn't necessarily Lori, John Porter, as much as it is the philosophy that we've kind of all inherited from the sisters, and that is to be very open and very participative in everything we do. I've got two or three fairly large senior management councils, and we'll meet two or three times a month. And so I like to think that they're really, when it gets on the management side, we don't have a model, and I don't think would be comfortable with a model where somebody sits in a corner and simply pontificates and says, this is the vision, this is what we're going to do, and now get out there and do it. Mm-hmm. I've had one of my former regional presidents who's now deceased. But he had a saying. He says, you know, John, none of us is as smart as all of us. Mm-hmm. And when you stop to think about that, if you don't take advantage of the talents and input from a larger group that come from all of our different communities we serve out there, you're missing a great opportunity. So we're very open, much dialogue. You have to have the ability at the end of the day to say, okay, this is what we've heard. This is the different opinions. Let's make a decision because we're going to go somewhere. We're not going to just keep contemplating our navels. And so you take off and you do it. And I think that's true for our governing boards too. You know, we do have very active governing boards in all of our communities out there. And it's a good chance. We like to think that we're responding to what the communities feel they need in their community. And it's different community by community. How are we responding to that? And you have to get that from the communities themselves.
And finally, coming up on 50 years of marriage, right?
We're about 7 months away from 50 years of marriage. Same woman, by the way.
To the same woman. Mm-hmm. Leave us with a secret of a long, happy marriage.
Well, unfortunately, I'm going to violate that because I think the best secret there is sometimes absence makes the heart grow fonder. Right. So, you know, each of us having our own roles over time, I think, is good. It'll be interesting come the end of 2018 when we're sitting there together looking at each other on a constant basis, whether that changes anything. But I do think finding somebody that shares your values, shares your perspective. I was fortunate in my case. I ended up marrying my high school sweetheart. So we actually started going together when we were at the end of our sophomore year in high school. So it's that type of temperament. We complement each other, I think, very well. And so that has worked for us. And we'll see how. But we come from that era where there are just a lot of people. That's kind of it. You put it in and you make it work. Marriages are a lot of work.
John Porter is retiring from Avera. He's the president and CEO. He's been there since 1974. He'll be helping in his current role until a successor is selected. John Porter, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time. Thanks for the care.
You're welcome. Thank you, Laurie.